surprised that I'm still here. I just can't wait to wake up in heaven. And I know that day, the day is very near.
Cause I'm going one of these mornings to a land with never night. Oh yes, I'm going one of these mornings, wear a robe and spotless white. One of these mornings I'll be flying high. One of these mornings I'm gonna say goodbye.
Sit in the row at the feet of Jesus. I know I wear a smile that never fades. And as I sing along with saints and angels, my time down here on earth seems so far away.
Mornings to a land with never a night. Oh yes, I'm going one of these mornings, wear a robe of spotless white. One of these mornings I'll be flying high. One of these mornings I'm gonna say goodbye. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all sing and shout the victory. I'm going one of these mornings to a land with never a night. Oh yes, I'm going one of these mornings, wear a robe of spotless white. One of these mornings I'll be flying high.
Sing My Savior's Love. My Savior's Love. That's the reason why we're going to get out of here one of these mornings. Amen. Page number 185. Have us sing all four stanzas.
How wonderful and my soul.
feet, and mighty men of world renown I may never get to meet, but I have an invitation to hasten to his throne, to lay my burdens at his feet, make my petition.
I can pray.
when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
Reminded me years ago, we used to have a lot of the children's home and all of that coming through, and they would present their ministries, and all of those kids would get up and sing a cappella like that, and boy, you could just hear the notes going just right on it. It'd bless your heart, and not many of those left anymore. I tell you, the law's about shut them all down, but ladies, that was beautiful. That spoke to my heart. And I'm sure spoke to many of your hearts. Thank you so much for that. Well, Brother Brian Patrick up at Calvary Grace Baptist Church up in Mount Vernon, Georgia. What I did when we put all of these people together, Brother Jeff and I sat down. We know all of these through the Preachers Fellowship, have known most of them for years. I knew Brian's wife when she was just a little bitty kid up in Jessup, Georgia. And I believe your brother now, who is Mitch's age, is retired from Air Force, right? He's retired from the Air Force, and now he's working, I think, some kind of attachment with the military or something of that nature. But John was his name, John Jr., I remember him. And I think he had one other sister, didn't you? Had one other sister. And, oh, she's married to who? Chris Myers? Hires, right. And I think they're up in North Georgia, somewhere around up that area. But just a family turned out great. I mean, just nothing special about them all, except for Brian. She's mighty special to him. But anyway, these are all folks that will be preaching this week. We could, in every one of these, we could have had a double session. We could have had it tonight with his wife taking our ladies and taking that one, but we just decided we'd have one night to do that, not because one's better than another, because that's not why we're in this thing, but I'm talking about three solid families that have been used of the Lord and have good character, good strength as a family, and a great testimony in the communities where they are, and that's the kind of people a preacher wants to come in and present in front of his people to be an encouragement and to help him and his church out also. So that's what I'm expecting. So, Brother Brian, you come, if you will, and preach to us today.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Amen. It is good. Isn't it great to be in church on Monday night? I mean, it's great to be in church Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. I love being in church all the time. I like being in the house of the Lord. Revival time special. And the reason is because it's a kind of time to get fired up, stirred up a little bit. I don't know how you feel about your Christian walk, but occasionally I need to get stirred up all over again. If you want to have revival in your family, it'd be good if your children saw mom and daddy saying amen every so often, or shouting the victory every so often, or at least get excited because you got to come to the house of the Lord. That'd probably send revival. Your kids are just in shock. What happened to daddy? He got excited about coming. Oh, it's great to be in the Lord's house. I was just thinking about, Brother Mike was just introducing him and about telling about family and stuff. And I remember back many years ago, my wife and I, we first had gotten married. And this has been 18 plus years ago. But before we ever got married, I told her, I said, you know, I was watching these couples with all these little kids and stuff. And matter of fact, I remember Brother Benny, he had some little ones too at that time, and not his, but I just remember I look at these parents, and I told her, I said, our kids will never, ever do that. No matter what it was, I look at them, you know, screaming in the middle of church. They'll never do that. Some of you single folks feel that way too. My kids will never, ever do that. Well, we had our first child, and she kind of broke us in a little bit. She was a girl. And the second child was a boy, and he broke us in a lot. And I found out that my kids do worse than all those kids. I said, they'll never do those things. I'm glad we don't have perfect children, because they sure don't have perfect parents. That's without a doubt, no perfect parents. And you know how things digress, don't you? Things just kind of digress down. Our first baby girl, we had, my wife was so peculiar, so particular about it. She wanted to make sure, if the pacifier fell on the ground, grab that thing, and she'd put it up, she'd put it in the water, she'd boil it. You can't touch that. Don't you touch that. It's contaminated. And that went on for that first one. That second one was about the same treatment, because they were about 18 months apart, and that little boy got the same treatment. Every time that thing hit the floor, whoa, don't you touch that. Let me grab that. She'd pick it up. She'd put it in the boiling water. And the third one came along, and it would fall on the ground, and she'd say, well, it didn't last too long. And she'd wipe it off a little bit, and she'd clean it up and just kind of wipe it, put it up under the sink. Didn't have to boil it, just put it up under the sink and wash it off a little bit, and she'd put it back in the baby's mouth. Well, the fourth child came along, and it would land on there, and by that time, it's just, hey, let me just take a paper towel and wipe the thing off. It's okay. The fifth child came along. And this is the truth. We've got the fifth child came along. It would hit the floor, and she didn't even miss a beat. She'd pick it up, and she would just maybe blow it off a little bit and stick it right back in the mouth. The sixth child came along, and that little girl, poor thing, it doesn't matter if it fell in the trash can, if it fell in the toilet, if it fell wherever it was. It doesn't have to be boiled, washed, blew off or anything. Stick it right back in the mouth. I mean, it's amazing how things change over the years, isn't it? It is absolutely amazing. After six children, you think you got all this thing wrapped up. But here's what happened to us. Just about the time we had our sixth child, our oldest two became teenagers. And if any of you have teenagers, and then you've got a two-year-old at the house, sometimes the two-year-old acts more mature than the teenagers. Can I get a witness right there, all right? And it's just amazing how life changes and things just, because sometimes you just don't understand. You say, Lord, I wish I had all this wrapped up. It'd be nice if I could come to church tonight and they had a little package. We could give everybody a package and said, this is the way to be a daddy. This is the way to be a husband. This is the way to be a wife. And I just give it to you. You'd go home and you'd just say, all right, I got it. And things would just be great. But our families need some help. Our families are in constant need of it's almost like your vehicles and your homes always needing maintenance, always needing a little something. Our families need that as well. Psalm 128 is where we'll be tonight. I'll be there in just a minute with you. Psalm 128, my watch had died. I didn't realize there was a clock in the back. And I asked Brother Kirk on the way up here, I said, Brother Kirk, could I borrow your watch? I need a watch. I don't want to preach too long, but I guess revival time, we'll preach a little bit, all right? And but when he handed me that watch, it had a Georgia G on it. You talking about absolutely depressing me. Here I am ready to preach. Right before I step up here, he hands me the watch, and it's got a Georgia Bulldog. I'm talking about depressing. I mean, if they can't win against Tennessee, we are in bad shape. I mean, I kind of gave them a bye with Alabama, but brother, Tennessee of all places. So I'm just going to turn that over. I'm not even going to look at it. So we might be here a while tonight, all right? We'd be here a little bit. But Lord, help us with all those things. I know that it will. It's exciting. I know I wish, I really do wish somehow we could just take our families and put a little hedge about them sometimes and protect them from all the things of the world and all the junk that goes on. But you know what? We live in a mixed up world. This is a mixed up place that we're living in. The marriage, the family unit's under attack, and it has been now, not just in the last 6 or 8 months or the last 6 or 8 years. The family unit's been under attack for a long, long time since Adam and Eve were first created. The devil's been after the family unit. Here in America, we've seen it in the last 50 or 60 years where the devil is all out attacking. It's been eroding and tearing it down. But Psalm 128, there's some words of hope and words of wisdom that I want to give you with the Lord's help tonight, all right? Let's read it together. Why don't you stand with me just for a minute, if you would, and let's just stand and read the Bible just for a minute. There's six verses in this 128th Psalm I'd like for you to get a hold of, and if you would, if you don't mind taking note here along the way, I'd like to make some mention of some verses here. Bless, bless, bless. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Boy, I surely want it to be well with me, and I hope you want it to be well with you as well. It says, hey, it shall be, you shall be happy. When's the last time you had some happiness at the house? Oh, when's the last time you had a little happiness around the home? He says, you'll be happy. He says, you'll be happy, but also it'll be well with thee. Thy wife, look at this verse in verse number 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children shall like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. You'll be blessed if there's a fear of God in your life. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. And I like that phrase where he says, the Lord shall bless thee. If I need anybody's blessings tonight, I need God's blessings on my life, and you need God's blessings on your life, but not just our individual lives. Our families need God's blessings upon our families tonight. I want you to pray with me and ask God. Some of you have been fighting the devil seem like you're fighting the devil by the acre just to get to church tonight. Some of you said, preacher, when I got off of work, it was just somebody, I forget even who it was, but you said there, a truck broke down on the way to the house of God, and they said, I had to hitch a ride just to get to church tonight. Some of you went to work all day, and seems like we got revival time, and if it's revival day, guess what's going to happen? The devil doesn't want you to be in revival service on a Monday night. And you say, preach, it was tough and it was hard. And I tell you what, if we're going to preach on the family, probably over the weekend, guess who got in trouble? Probably you and your wife probably had the biggest argument that you've had in a long, long time. Because why? It's revival time. And God wants to do a work. And if God's going to do a work, I promise you one thing, Satan's going to do a work well. So let's pray that God give us the victory. Preaching, if something happens to my head, these folks are going to fall all over the place because a head wound bleeds real, real bad. But what are we going to do about our homes tonight? Are we going to ask God, and maybe we're wounded. Maybe it's a preacher, we're just barely getting by. I love church. I love coming to the house of the Lord. But the sad thing, one of the downfalls of being in church is this. Everybody comes to church, puts their best suit on or the best dress on, and they put a smile on their face. And if you've ever been in this situation before, you'll understand what I'm saying. They could possibly, tonight, you and your spouse might have been out in the parking lot having a knockdown, drag out, just in your face argument out there. But about the time you opened the door and brother so-and-so walked by, what did you do? You put a big old smile on your face. You said, hey, brother, how you doing? And he says, I'm doing fine. How are you? And you lied through your teeth. And you said, oh, we're doing great. And that wife of yours got out, and she grabs your hand, and she said, you lied to him. You're not doing fine. And you walked into church tonight, and that wife of yours and the sisters came by, and they shook her hand, and she said, how you doing, sister? And guess what she said? I'm doing fine. And she lied right in the house of God. And why? Because things in your life, we're outside, we're in the flesh, and we come in here, we want to get in the spirit, so everybody's like, hey, all these people have everything just right. That is not the truth. There is nobody in this room that's got everything just right. There's nobody in this room who has the perfect marriage. There's no one in this room who absolutely never has any problems except Brother Mike, but everybody else has problems. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Let me give you some help tonight with the Lord. If we're going to build our homes, if we're going to build our families and our marriages and our relationships, we can't do it our way. We must do it God's way. God's way is the best way. It's the only way. It's the right way. You say, preacher, I need some help tonight. Here it is. Number one, men, I want to preach tonight on this thought. How to have a happy wife. How to have a happy wife. My wife on the way up here, she said, what are you preaching tonight? I said, I'm not going to tell you. She started to get my Bible, look at my notes. I said, don't you open my Bible. I told her where I was preaching at. And she looked it up in her Bible. She saw the text. And I said, I didn't tell her. You say, preacher, how do you have a happy wife? And automatically, here it is. Once a week, all expense paid trip to Walmart. That is a happy wife. Every 2 weeks, all expense paid trip down to nails for you, by you, and pedicures and manicures and a new dress once a month. That makes a happy wife, doesn't it? Some of you ladies are like, what is he talking about? My husband's never done that for me. Oh, to make a happy wife would be this, honey, I'm here to serve you. Matter of fact, you go out on with the girls tonight, I'm going to stay here and keep the children. That's going to make a happy wife. Some of you guys are like, preacher, I wish you'd shut up right now, all right? Just shut up. You say, what makes a happy wife? Oh, a happy wife is when the man comes home and says, honey, don't cook supper tonight. I'm going to treat you out to a steak dinner tonight. Boy, that sure does make a happy wife. A happy wife will say, hey, you know what? When the husband walks in and says, honey, don't you worry about washing the clothes. I'm taking care of the clothes. I'm going to wash them. I'm going to dry them. I'm going to fold them. I'm going to press them. I'm going to hang them up, put them in the closet. And she falls out on the floor and she faints. She says, what have you been drinking? Or better yet, what have you been smoking? Because that is not my husband. Oh, that makes a happy wife, huh? Oh, yeah, that makes a happy wife. But you know what, ma'am? I don't know that all of us even can wash clothes. I don't even know if all of us can even cook meals. And if you're like me, I sure don't want to babysit the babies. But you know what? I don't think all of that is what's required to make a happy wife, even though those are good things to do. But there's something more that your wife needs that might result in you keeping the children every so often. Might result in you doing the little extra every so often. It might result in a little more love in the relationship. But I want to give it to you with the Word of God tonight. It's not a free trip to Walmart. It's not a honeymoon trip every 6 months. But I believe your wife will be grateful if you'll follow the truths I'm going to give to you tonight. Now, notice what the Bible says here. He gives us a few things. Verse number 1, 2, and 3 says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. And when you read this passage of Scripture, I'll notice the wording with me. As you read the passage of Scripture, he says, blessed is everyone. Blessed is everyone. But it kind of changes here because in verse number 2 he says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So you think, well, hey, he's just talking to everybody. They're going to walk with the Lord. They're going to be happy. There's going to be well. But notice who he is directing this to. It is not to the women. It's not to the children. Guess who it's directed to? Look at verse number 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. So it tells me that verse number 1 and verse number 2 are directed not to the wives, not to the children, not to anybody else except for the men. And he says, men, if you want to live with God and walk with God and have a happy wife, here are the things and here are the truths that you need to grab a hold of in your life. If your marriage is miserable, I'm going to take a little time out real quick and we'll chase this rabbit and I'll shoot it and we'll be done. But here it is. A lot of you are going to blame your wife and say, you know what, it's her fault that our marriage is miserable. That is not in the Bible. It is not your wife's fault that your marriage is miserable. You say, preacher, it's my wife's fault that we don't have harmony in our home. It is not your wife's fault. You say, preacher, it's her fault that it seems like we're just arguing, fuss all the time. If my wife got right with God, everything would be just right. That is not what the Word of God says. God does not point the finger and tell that wife, you get things right, even though she should. Here's what he says. God always deals with the men of the home. And I am very much on that, listen, that God wants the men to get their life in order. And if they'll get their life in order, then their home will be in order. You say, is that true? I believe without a doubt that if every man in this room tonight got right with God, guess what? Their wife would be soon to follow. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I believe that he is to be the leader in all things, and that is spiritual things as well. Number one, if you want to write this down, I believe you need to fortify your home. You need to fortify. What do I mean by fortify? He said this, and he said in verse number 3, he says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. He says, you need to make sure that wife, even though her vine, she should be like a vine on the side. Men, we need to put a fortification around our home. I believe the devil is trying his best to destroy our homes tonight. He's done it through years ago, and I know there's a lot of folks, just as in my church, a lot of people sitting here who have been through the trials and the difficulties of divorce, and you've been through that road before. You said, preacher, that's a hard road to go. But I know what's happened. The devil has tried to destroy families now for all these thousands of years, And he's having a heyday tonight is what he's doing. He said, what did he do? First of all, he told us that it's okay. Marriage is not permanent. I've got news for you. Marriage, according to the Bible, is a permanent covenant between you and God and that spouse. It is a permanent thing. He said, preacher, we're going to try it out for a little while, see how it works. You don't try marriage out. Marriage is something that you get locked into, brother. You just don't give it up. Say, I'm through. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I told my wife, I said, if you ever leave me, I'm going to follow you wherever you're going. She's not going to run out. I'm going out with her. Now, I know the Bible does say until death do you part. So either she's going to kill me or I'm going to kill her, and that's the only way we're going to part. Because there is no such word in our home as divorce, because marriage is permanent. Marriage is something, young people, if you're not married, you better look at this thing as when I get settled into and find the one I'm going to marry, we're not going to try it out for a few months or years and see if it all works out. Because I got news for you. Newsflash, here it is. You're going to have some hard times in marriage. Marriage is not going to be a bed of roses. That little girl that you think is so cute, she's got bad breath too, buddy. And that little girl that you think she's so nice and everything's all right, guess what? You're going to wake up one day and she's not going to have her makeup on. Her hair's going to be all messed up and you're going to roll over and you're going to go, oh, what happened? I never saw you this way before. Strangest thing that happened to me. My wife and I, we did things like we were supposed to do the biblical way, and we did it right. And so we get married, and I'll be honest, we stopped off in Macon on our way out of our honeymoon. And I woke up that next morning, that Sunday morning, after our wedding on Saturday, I woke up the next morning, and I rolled over, and there was a woman in the bed with me. For the first time in my life, there was a woman in the bed right beside me. And I felt like the Holy Spirit convicted me. He said, son, what are you doing? What are you doing in here? You're not supposed to be here with her. And then I remembered, oh, yeah. I got one of these rings on. I'm all right. Everything's okay. I said, we're all right. Everything's good. But you know what I found out? Some of you say, preacher, when we get married, everything's just going to be just so smooth. Everything's going to be just right. There's probably men in here going, preacher, we ain't never argued a day in our life. Yeah. You come see me after church, buddy. Let me talk to your wife for a little bit. All right? So maybe you didn't think it was an argument, but I bet she did. What happens in our life is this. We get married and we think, you know, everything's going to be good. Let me give you the recipe tonight, and I've got to get moving. Here it is. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. There should be a fear of God in our life. When I say fear, I say fear. Fear is not a word that you say, well, I'm afraid of my God. I'm afraid of Him. I fear God in such a dreadful just a way. I don't even want to come. No, that's not the fear. The fear here is a holy reverence for God. It is a, Lord, I don't want to disappoint you. Lord, I fear that I may fail you. Lord, I fear that I may come short. Lord, I fear that I may absolutely break your heart. Lord, I fear doing those things. That's the fear that he's talking about here. Man, when's the last time in your life that you said, you know what? I can't let my eyes wander. You know why? Because I fear breaking the heart of my Savior. I fear transgressing my Lord. Lord, I fear these things. When's the last time that you looked at God and said, God, I fear not following you and walking with you and fellowshipping with you. Lord, I have a holy fear. That's what David's talking about here. He says there ought to be a fear of God in your life. And if I'm going to fortify my home and I'm going to put a fortification around my home, I have got to learn to have a fear of God. Number two, he said, you need to walk. Walk with him. Walk with God. Men, you need to be a man who walks with God. You need to be the man, not the wife. You need to be the man who walks with God. Some of you got some spiritual wives. Thank God for them. My wife's a spiritual lady. But the sad thing is, most of the time, the wives are the spiritual ones in the relationship. And it should not be. The sad thing is, not just probably some wives that came to church and their husband is sitting back at the lazy boy, being a lazy boy, back at the house tonight, and you had to come along tonight. It shouldn't be that way. I believe the man ought to be the one that says, hey, kids, hey, it's time to get up. It's time to go to church. It's time to get ready. We got to go to the house of God today, and we got to go to church. Let's go. I believe the man should take charge in spiritual areas. It shouldn't be the woman's responsibility. That's the man's responsibility, to walk with God, to lead your family. I say this just about every time I preach on the home, and I hope Bible Baptists will hold this and pull this in. I believe men, every time I preach a message on the home, here's what I challenge you to do. Every day of your life, get on your knees with your family and pray with your family. You say, preacher, I've never done that before. This is a family revival. Revival is a time of making fresh decisions and new decisions or renewing decisions. And I want to challenge you tonight. Tonight on Monday Night of Revival, would you get your family together and you say, we've got to pray together as a family. You say, I don't have children. Get your wife and say, oh, wife, we're going to pray together beside our bed before we go to bed every night of my life. You know what I do? I gather my wife and those six children, and we get around the coffee table, around the couch, or wherever, one of the bedrooms, and we pray together every night of our life. You say, preacher, why is it so important? What do y'all do? Have an hour devotion? Nope. What do you do? Have a big old long prayer time? Have prayer meeting every night? Nope. Here's what I do. I get on my knees. I just simply thank the Lord for the day. Thank the Lord for His blessings. I ask God for safety. I ask God to honor us as we get up and do our day tomorrow. I pray God to give us wisdom in our day. Just a very simple, short prayer. You say, does it make a difference? You do that 365 days out of the year. Guess what? It will make a difference in your home. You say, just that few little minutes together? Yes, it will. It'll make a difference in your home. Men, tonight, take it home with you and say, hey, by God's grace, we've not done this, but we're going to make a commitment to God that we will pray because I want to be the man who walks with God every day of my life. You know what? God is in the business of walking with those who walk with Him. God is in the business of walking alongside of those who walk alongside of Him. He said, well, God said He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know that, but guess what? God's not in the business of walking out when people don't come to church. God's not in the business of walking out when people don't get right with Him. God wants to walk with those who will walk with Him. You know where you need to be walking tonight? You need to be walking with God. Now, ladies, I know you're like, preacher, my husband needs to hear this. But you need to be a lady who walks with God as well. Men, I want to challenge you, walk with the Lord. We're so spiritually anemic. There are men in this room who could bench press 200 or 300 pounds. I mean, they're strong, they're mighty, they're great, and they could bench press stuff. But when it comes to spiritual things, they can't even hardly lift their Bible up. That's a sad commentary, isn't it? There's men who are so strong, and they said, preacher, I can do things, and I can build engines, and I can change out transmissions, and I can fish, and I can hunt, and I can do it, and I've got all these things I can do. Why can't you take time to pray with your family every night? Oh, preacher, I can do this, and I'm strong, and I provide. Your family needs you to be the spiritual giant in your home. That's what you need to be. It's not up to your wife to say, honey, would you please come pray with the kids? And that shouldn't be her job. That ought to be your responsibility to get along and say, hey, children, it's time to pray. Honey, it's time to pray. Let's spend some time with the Lord tonight. Is everybody with me all right? Everybody okay? It is your responsibility to spend time with God. Walk with God, and God will walk with you. Come here, Nico, real quick. Stay with me, buddy. All right, Nico, we're going to walk together. We're going to pretend like, I was going to say I'll let you be God, but I don't know about that. You'll never live that down. All right. We're going to walk together. Nico's going to walk with me. He said, I'm a Christian. I'm a man. I'm going to walk with the Lord. Oh, Nico says, wait a second. Look over there. That looks good. And Nico walks up. God says, wait. Nico, don't go. I want you to go this way. Nico says, wait. I want to go this way. And God says, Nico, don't go that way. Walk with me. And Nico, come here. Nico finally says, okay, I walk with God. And he comes in, it's revival time, and Nico says, all right, well, got to get back walking with God. And about the time he does that, something catches his attention, the world, the flesh, the devil, all that kind of stuff. He says, I think I'll walk that with God. So, hey, Nico, here's the walk I got for you. Come here. I want to walk with you this way. Go this way with me. And he says, oh, no, I want to go my way. Come here, Nico. If we're going to walk with God and be men of God, we've got to learn to walk where God wants us to walk. Quit doing our thing. Quit going our way. Quit doing our will and start doing God's will, walking with God every day of our life. That's what we need to do, buddy. Thank you. We got to walk with the Lord, walk with Him, and talk with Him. I remember years ago, I'm knocking on a door, and here comes this big guy, and big, strong, kind of like a motorcycle fella, rough and tough. I asked him if he would talk to him a little bit, and said, "Listen, I'd like for you to come to church." "Well, my wife, let me go ask my wife, see what she says." I said, "What? You mean Mr. Tough Guy? Mr. Tough Guy's got to go ask his wife? Mr. Tough Guy goes, so what does my wife say about going to church?" Sir, let me tell you something. I wouldn't get up on Sunday morning and say, "Honey, you want to go to church on today?" No, sir, no way, no how. I'm not going to get up on Sunday morning and say, "Hey, baby, what do you think about going to church today?" You know what? If my wife were to say, "I don't think I'm going to church," you know what I'd do? I'd say, "I don't care if you're going in your bathroom. You're going to church today, all right? You're going to the house of God." She's not going to stay at the house when I go off to church. And men, you shouldn't stay at the house when your woman goes off to church. It shouldn't be that way. If she could, she ought to drag your carcass to the house of God and sit you on the front seat and say, "Preacher, preach the devil out of him." Can I get a witness, ladies, right there? Thank you. Because these men sure do need it. Y'all need some help. Now, Deep the Labor, he said this. He said, I believe the devil's out to destroy our homes. Men, it's up to you to fortify your home. You've got to be the fortification of your home. You've got to be the fortification of your home. Start building a wall. Start doing something. Start saying, "Lord, we're going to pray. I got to start being the man of God. Lord, I know the preacher preaches this every week. It's time to do something about it." I know if I stand in this church tonight, Bible Baptist Church, if I stand here and say, "You know what, I believe that a marriage is between a man and a woman and not homosexuals and queers and all that kind of mess that the country's going down the road," everybody goes, "Yeah, that's right, preacher, I believe this." Well, now I say, "Hey, I don't believe fornication is right." Everybody say, "Amen to that. I don't believe fornication is right." I said, "Adultery is wrong." People say, "Amen, adultery is wrong." But guess what? If I were to say, "Now listen, what about being kind to your wife?" Uh-oh, wait. Hold on. Now, preacher, you get on them queers now, and you get on that fornicating them young people, all that fornicating business, and that adultery, I ain't got a problem with that, but you want me to be kind to my wife? You are crazy. Now, wait a second. The Bible says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender heart of forgiving." That's a scripture, that's Bible. The Bible says there should be joy and love and peace and happiness and harmony and all that kind of stuff. It ought to be there, and if it's not, then we're not living in the will of God in our homes. By the way, time out. Everybody with me. Arguing and fighting and screaming and yelling, throwing pots and pans at each other is not normal. Some of you think that is a normal way of life. It is not. Some of you have lived that way for so long, you think that's just the way everybody does it. Men, if you would man up and you'd start walking with God and you'd start living for God, guess what? You'd probably walk in the door and that woman of yours would probably kiss you right on the lips. And you'd get, "Ooh, I'm telling you, son." You got to try it every so often. Some of you hadn't had a kiss on the lips in a long time. You say, "Preacher, I don't have a problem with adultery, fornication, all that kind of stuff." No, I don't get a problem with it, no. But I want to ask you, when's the last time that inside of your four walls that there was peace? There was joy, there was contentment, there was love, there was harmony. When's the last time inside your four walls there was long suffering? You said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about living out your Christian life every day. Not just something you do on Sunday. Not just this big facade we put up for everybody to see. I'm talking about when you go home with your wife and your wife sees the real you ought to be the same one that she sees at church. And if you're saying amen at church, you ought to say amen at the house. And if you got a smile on at church, that ought to be a smile at the house. If you come to church, you got everybody and you want to say, "Be kind to all the sisters, brother." Don't you be more kind to these sisters than you are your own wife. That is not right. It's time for the men to be men, godly men. So we put a fortification around our home. He says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, walketh in his ways." He says, "Thou shalt be what? Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be." Happy shalt thou be. Hey, some folks need a big old dose of happiness. I mean, you need a big old truckload, dump truck, tandem axle, dump truck load of happiness in your home. Your children haven't seen mom and daddy smile in a long time. You haven't had fun in a long time. Your life has been miserable for quite a long time. It's been a long time since there's been a lot of joy. You know what you need to do? You need to start walking with God and asking God to help you daily walk with Him. And you'll find out the more you walk with God, the more joy that takes place inside of your home. That is what we need tonight. We need a dump truck load of a lot of God's joy, because you know why? Our kids are seeing our life, and we want them. We drag their hide to church. We sit them on that seat, and we say, "You sit there and listen to the preacher preach." And then they go home and they hear the mom and daddy criticize the preacher, talk about the preacher, make fun of the preacher. They hear their parents talk about brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, teacher so-and-so, brother Jeff, and all they talk about all of them. And then those kids are going, is this the same mom and daddy that was at church an hour ago? These things ought not to be. Because what you're doing is, in case you don't know this, kids see right through hypocrisy. Kids see the real deal. And if you're not real, then your kids don't want what you've got. And you wonder, well, why? You know, my kids turn 18, 19, and 20. They don't want anything to do with what's going on here. You know why? There's a possibility they saw a lot of hypocrisy in your life. You know what you need to do? You need to be real. You need to get real with God. Start walking with God. Putting a fortification around your home. Now, I got to move on here. We got to go. And this Georgia Bulldog clock is working like everybody. It's working like the Georgia football team. Slow. All right, here we go. All right. There's a lot of folks, you know, say, preacher. I don't let the devil in my house. Oh, no. I don't let the devil in my house. We don't watch some old dirty movies because I know Brother Mike says we shouldn't do it. And we don't allow all that pornography and all that kind of stuff in our house. Oh, no. Now, preacher, we don't do those things in our home. But you know what? You allow your children to backbite, to scream at each other, yell at each other. You allow your children to backtalk. You allow your children to call each other names. All that kind of stuff that goes on. And guess what? A lot of that stuff, a lot of those things are just sin. They're just sin. It's time we start cleaning up around the house and say, wow, you know what? Our house doesn't really look like, our home doesn't really look like a godly home any longer. Seems like we're just acting like the world, the flesh, and the devil in our house. Let me go in here. It says that by faithfulness. There's a lot of folks that preach, I just don't know what to do. Here's what I tell you to do. Fortify your home. Number two, there needs to be faithfulness in your home. There needs to be some faithfulness. You say, preacher, I would never cheat on my wife. I would never cheat on her. I promise I never would. But the problem is, a lot of you are cheating on God. And if you cheat on God, it's going to affect your relationship with your wife. Let me say that one more time. A lot of you say, I'll never cheat on my wife. But when you cheat on God, it is affecting your relationship with your wife. Because if you're not right with God up in heaven, you will not be right with the wife that you live with every day of your life. And so preachers say, I don't know why. We've got so much just animosity and we're just at each other. My wife, if she got right with God, and that wife's going, if he got right with God, and if she got right with God, he got right with God, and both of you are sitting there like this. I can't stand him. And he's going, I can't stand her. He comes home and they fuss and they fight. They feud and they fume. He runs out the door and says, I'll see you later. He comes back and she sleeps on her side and he sleeps on his side and they're mad at each other, won't even look at each other, won't kiss each other, won't smile at each other. And they go through life. Preacher, I love Jesus. The Bible says that there's going to be something inside of a Christian. And please stay with me here. He says, there's going to be a love for the brethren. Well, guess what? If you're saved and your wife is saved, there ought to be some love for one another. Preacher, we fell out of love a long time ago. Oh, no. And I know you could say, well, those are two different loves there that's mentioned. I understand it. But listen, there still ought to be some love for your wife. Preacher, we've been married too long. How can you be married too long? I still like to, after 18 years of marriage, I like to hold my wife's hand. And I like to pull her close. Well, we got kids. I won't tell you everything we do, all right? But I just like getting close to her. Man, I like being close to my wife. I love just saying, you know, just, I mean, she's, what I love, what I really enjoy doing. Sometimes when she's walking out of the store and I'm just sitting out there like good men do, sitting out there in the car waiting. I won't be for just a minute. All right, honey. Yeah. All right, it's 8 o'clock. She'll be back by 9:30. Won't be for just a minute. I'll sit right here and wait on you. And here she comes. I'll roll down the window. Oh, she just, oh, she just gets, I said, well, what are you talking about? I'd rather whistle at her and tell her how good looking she is, how nice and how beautiful she is, than to fuss and fight and fume and stomp and snort and everything else. What took you so, blah, 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 blah. What's wrong with just being kind? You're married, aren't you? Well, some of y'all need to come pray right now. Y'all looking mighty guilty, all right? I mean, like, whoa, preacher, where have you been? I'm telling you, I'm just telling you. It would do us good to get right with God. It really would do us good because our relationship with God plays out with our relationship with each other. It just does. It just really does. Let me show you. You got to be faithful. We need to walk in God's ways. God, we need to walk. Make sure we're walking with Him. There's going to be blessings. There's going to be happiness. He said all these things will be added to you by your faithfulness. God is going to bless your family if you'll be faithful. Now, I want to show you number three, if you would, quickly. He said in verse number three, thy wife shall be, she shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. She's going to be like a fruitful vine. He said, if you'll walk with God, you'll fear God, you'll be faithful to God, and you'll have a fellowship with God, and you'll be consistent with your walk with God, guess what's going to happen? Your wife is going to be as that fruitful vine that grows up by the side of the house. So here's the application here. This fruitful vine, I want you to notice with me just real quick, the fruitful vine. Your wife is a tender, tender treasure that God's given to you. The Bible says she's a weaker vessel, and there's a whole thing about the wife. And don't men, I wouldn't say too loud right here, but wouldn't you like to really understand the mind of a woman? Wouldn't that be a great thing to do? I don't know, Brother Mike, we'd probably get shocked if we understood the mind of a woman. I don't know, I might have heard this here. I heard a story. It might have been here. I heard a story. But if you've already heard it, it's fine. It still makes good application for them, but I'm this point here. There was a real good Christian man like many of you are, probably like Brother Kurt. God, well, anyway, maybe not like Brother Kurt. All right, but anyway, maybe somebody else. Good Christian man like Brother Kurt, and God comes to Kurt and says, Kurt, listen, you've been serving me so well, so good. He said, I want to do something great for you and give you one, whatever your request is, I want to give to you. Kurt thinks about it and he says, I don't like to fly. I'm afraid of flying. I don't like to fly, but my heart, my dream in my life is to go to Hawaii. He says, so God, I don't like to fly. I'm afraid of flying, but he said, if you would, I'd like for you to build me a bridge out to Hawaii. God says, Kurt, that is a big request. He said, don't you have anything that's a little easier than that? Kurt says, well, I don't know, Lord. That's my one desire. He said, but you know, I've got a good relationship with my wife, but God, can I really understand the mind of a woman and the way they work and the way they think and what goes on in their life? Sometimes she's happy, sometimes she cries. Seems like one day she's up on the mountaintop, the other day she's in the valley. One day things are going well, and the next minute there's tears running out of her face. I don't understand, Lord. Could you just help me understand the mind of a woman? God pauses for a second. He says, now that bridge, did you want a two-lane or four-lane? Which one did you want? He said, two-lane or four-lane. So God said, no, too hard to understand. Sometimes they're hard to understand. But one thing God said about our wives is this. He says, if, and I'm bringing this thing down to a close, so just give me your attention just for a minute. If, now the first one and two is to the men. He says, if you'll be faithful, if you'll fortify your home, if you'll walk with God, if you'll fear God, if you will do these things, then your wife will be, she'll be as the vine. What is a vine? A vine, a fruitful vine is this. A vine, now men, you know this, some of you builders, Brother Jeff, understand this, and builders, you don't take a vine, cut it down and build a house out of a vine, do you? No, that's the oak trees. That's the pine trees. We build the lumber out of those. A vine's very tender, but yet a vine brings forth fruit. And we want our wives to have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, faith, meekness, long. So we want our wives to have all of the fruits of the Spirit. We said, well, I want my wife to just be in joy and happy. And I want my wife to be just so full of God. And I want my wife to walk with God. One of the things I believe that would help your wife walk with God, sir, is if you walk with God. That would help her. Because the Bible says, if you will do these in verse 1 and 2, then your wife will be as a vine that grows forth, as a fruitful vine on the side of your house. A little application here, the vine is a weak, it's very weak, it's very fragile, just as a woman. You know this as well as I do. A man is supposed to be the leader, the strong one. The wife is the weaker vessel, is what the Bible tells us. That's no doubt. I'm not throwing off on women. That's what the Bible, she is the weaker vessel by nature. That's what the Word of God says. But did you notice the wording there? He says, she'll be a vine, a fruitful vine by the side of the house. Now, here's an application as well for verse number 3. He did not say that as a vine on the floor of the house. That wife of yours is not your slave. She's not to be trampled upon. She's not to be stepped on. She's not your little girl to go do whatever you want and hurt your bidding. That's not the way the Bible says you treat a woman. That's not the floor. But also he said the side. He didn't say the roof of the house. She's not your protector, men. She's not your leader. She's not your guide. She's not the one that should be leading the home. That is a man's responsibility, is to lead his home. And so you say, well, I want my wife to take charge. Oh, no. That is not even in her nature that God's given her. If you will take charge, then guess what? God would allow her, because even a good, solid Christian woman, she'll follow a man as he follows God. The man being the head, of course, you've heard this. And the woman, what is the woman? She's the heart of that home. She's the vine that grows up, and she bears fruit on the side of that home. The man has fortified it. The man has strengthened his home. The man has built walls around it. And as he's built those walls, and as he's walking with God, and as he's fellowshipping with God, he watches that wife grow up and begin to bear fruit. He said, preacher, my wife sure has changed. You know what happened? You changed. And whenever you changed, it produced some fruit in your wife, because I believe she was watching you and following you. So, men, I'm not here tonight to say, get your wife right with the Lord. I'm here tonight to say, hey, this message is for me. It's time for us to get right with God. Quit blaming our children. Quit blaming our spouse. Quit blaming everybody around us for things falling apart. Here's a phrase. Here it is, guys. You help me out here. Everything rises and falls on what? Leadership. And who is supposed to be the leader of your home? You are. And if your house is falling apart, it is not your wife's fault. If your house is not spiritual tonight, your home is not spiritual, it is not your wife's fault. If your children are out of line tonight, and your children are running wild, it is not your wife's fault. Because the buck stops here. Right here. I cannot blame my wife. I cannot blame my children. I cannot say it is their fault if things are not right at the house. Know whose fault it is? It's my fault. I don't live in your home. Don't even know that I've ever been in any of your homes, except for maybe one or two of you. I don't know how things are, but if your church and your congregation, Brother Mike, is like my church and my congregation, the life that I see at the church house many times does not reflect the life that is lived out in their house. And so if we're the same people like I've got up there in Ailey, same people down here in Brunswick, with the same problems, the same troubles, and the same trials, I know that not every home in this building tonight is as close as it needs to be. But we cannot say, well, I want my wife to get right. Man, this altar call tonight is not for the wives, even though we want them to pray. And we want them to talk to God and say, God, help my home. Help us have revival in our homes. God, help us. This is not for the wives, necessarily. This message tonight is for us as men, because the buck stops right here. If you want to make your wife happy, how to have a happy wife, you start walking with God, you start fortifying your home, you start being faithful to God, and you will see some fruit that will begin to grow up around your home. And you'll be so glad that you did. Would you stand with me tonight? You've been so kind and so patient. Let me preach to you for a little while. And I hope something has been said. The Bible, I didn't talk about the olive plants, but it talks about your children. It should be like olive plants planted around your table. We didn't discuss that, but there's some application there. It won't take time to look at it. But I want to talk to you tonight as we get ready to close. If you don't grab it, just one thing that I said tonight, here it is. Walk with God. Walk with God. Walk with God. Men, I'm saying this. Your wife's hearing this. If you're married, your wife's hearing me say this. Why don't you just take her tonight before you go to bed, before you say your last goodbyes and have a good night. Why don't you just say, honey, like the preacher talked about, let's just pray. And just bow down and say, Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the service. And help our home. And you may not even know how to pray in front of you. Feel uncomfortable about it because you've not done it before. But if you'll start that journey tonight, and a year from now you've kept that commitment, you'll say, I'm going to pray with my family. I promise you, you'll be better off for it 365 days from right now because you did that. You said, we're going to do it. I'm going to turn things over to Brother Mike, but I do pray in God to help our families. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Let me pray for you. Father, Lord, I pray you bless this time of invitation for our men especially. Lord, revival time for our families, our men. Lord, I pray that there'll be men that will just respond and say, God, the problem's not with anybody else. The problem is here. Lord, it's right here with me. Lord, we need some revival in our homes. If not, probably it's more than likely some of these couples will not even be together if they don't have revival in their homes. I pray, God, that you stir our hearts tonight, put our men on the altar, get our wives right there with them, and I pray that the children would just say, whatever mom and dad want to do, we're going to follow. So, Lord, give us some men of God tonight who will rise up and be counted faithful for you. And, Lord, I pray that you'd help them tonight. God, please help our men. In Jesus' name.